you glad the Lord thinks about you? Amen. What a blessing. They singing that, kept that little phrase in that song, and I leaned over and told Brother Tim, and I thought about this, if the psalmist David was here in the service, he would have jumped up and hollered, Selah. That means think about it. Amen. Take a pause. Think about what you're saying, what you're saying. Amen. I like it. Praise God that the God of heaven would think about me and would think about you. We ought to be in hell today. Amen. Every one of us, but God in His mercy. Amen. I bless His name for that today. Hallelujah. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior you and I have today. Amen. All right, Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53 this morning. We'll enable Stan Isaiah 53 and we'll read this whole chapter. It's not very long, it's 12 verses. It's what the Lord laid upon my heart early hours of the morning. I was thought maybe going a different direction. God just tugged my heart early this morning and I will just mind the Lord. And I see the Lord kind of set the songs up throughout the singing today. Amen. For this particular chapter. And what a great chapter it is in the Word of God. Many can quote this chapter, Isaiah 53, and I sure do like to read it, how it touches our heart, stirs our heart, and we're glad for that today. Isaiah chapter 53, and beginning in verse number 1, the Bible said, Who hath believed, I report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I'm going to stop and say, I do. Amen. Who believed it? I do. Amen. It's been 36 years ago that I believed it. Amen. Now I'm glad the arm of the Lord's been revealed in my life. Amen. Verse number 2, the Bible said, He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb before the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pledge of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, today one more time to call upon your name. Lord, I thank you that you do think about me. Thank you that you'd visit me and help me as you do. And Lord, we ask you right now, in that name above every name, in the name of Jesus, that you touch us physically and spiritually. I pray you'd open the ears of the listener today, open their hearts, that they might receive have the truth of the word of God today. Lord, save that soul that's lost. Lord, what a joy, what a thrill. Lord, to see somebody make that move towards you, see them get birth into your family today. Lord, I thank you for that wonderful day 36 years ago when you saved me, placed me in your family. I've never got over it, and I'm grateful for it today. Oh, Lord, I pray what you did for me, do for someone else here today. Lord, I pray for your people. Encourage and strengthen them. May you be exalted in all we say and do, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want to preach this morning, the Lord being my helper on this subject, we need a fresh glimpse of Calvary. We need a fresh glimpse of Calvary. You said, preacher, you read a chapter in the Old Testament. Christ had not died yet. That's right. But we see a glimpse of Calvary in this chapter. Matter of fact, there are several places in the Old Testament that we get a glimpse of Calvary, all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve sinned, God promised them that the seed of the woman, it would bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent bruised his heel. That's a glimpse of Calvary. That's a glimpse of what Jesus Christ would do for all of us sinners. Then in Genesis 22, we have another glimpse of Calvary, for as we see Abraham taking Isaac to the land of Moriah upon the mountain, and he leaves the servant. He tells him, we're going to go worship and come back. But we find he takes the wood for the burnt offering, lays it upon Isaac. He takes the fire and the knife, heads up for sacrifice. Can I say that's a glimpse of Calvary? For Christ laid your sin, laid my sin. Amen. God laid it upon Christ. Amen. And judgment was upon the sacrifice on the mountain. We find in Exodus chapter 12, with that Passover, as they would select the lamb, they would slay the lamb. And that lamb was their salvation by the blood that was shed. Oh, friend, we see a glimpse of Calvary in the Old Testament. In Numbers 21, in verses 4 through 9, we find that the children of Israel were speaking against God and Moses, and God sent fiery serpents, and we find that God, Moses turned to the Lord, and God said, put your brazen serpent on the pole, and those that are bitten, if they'll look, they'll live. Hey, I want to tell you, Jesus, again in John 3, mentions that. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Hey, I want to tell you, friend, that picture of the brazen serpent is a glimpse of Calvary. If you look to Calvary, you can live today. Oh, friend, we find in Psalm 22 another glimpse of Calvary. We find it starts out with the words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's not the psalmist David talking about himself. David's nowhere in that psalm, but he's looking at a future day. He's been given a glimpse of Calvary that the Lord let him know what was going to take place hundreds of years later there on the top of Mount Calvary, where Christ would be crucified for the sin of the world. Oh, there's a glimpse of Calvary in the Old Testament. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. We find not only there's a glimpse of Calvary in the Old Testament, but we have the record of Calvary in the New Testament. There in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all give us a viewpoint of what Calvary was like that day. Oh, and let me say this. We see also the results, amen, and the reach of Calvary throughout the New Testament. For Calvary changes lives. Amen. Anybody that's ever turned to Christ in salvation, it changed them. It made them free. It made them whole. Hey, it made them clear, a clear title. Hey, I'm telling you today, I'm glad for the result and the reach of Calvary, even this day. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. You ain't got to go to physical Calvary to visit Calvary. Amen. You say, what do you mean by the eye of faith? Amen. I was there. Amen. Hey, I turned to him and what he did at Calvary. Hey, that's how I'm going to heaven. It's by what Jesus Christ did. Amen. Oh, friend, the Bible declares to you and I there in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Hey, I know the world tires of the message and they don't like the message, but it is the power of God to those of us who are saved. Well, I'm glad for the cross. Amen. Matter of fact, can I say this? There in the book of Luke chapter 23 and verse number 33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Hey, we find the word Calvary. And by the way, hear me right here. Luke 23:33 is the only time in your Bible that the word Calvary is ever mentioned. It ain't ever mentioned anywhere else. Why, preacher? One time's enough. Amen. Hebrews said that he entered in once. Amen. Hey, he ain't got to die again. He'll never shed his blood again. Never lay down his life again. One time was sufficient. Amen. Hey, and I'm going to say this. I'm a King James Bible only man. And I'm going to tell you my number one reason I wouldn't carry an NIV. You want it? The word Calvary ain't found in it. Amen. They decided to take it out. While you take Calvary out, we're lost. No Calvary, no salvation. Amen. Hey, you've got a perfect Bible. You've got the right Bible if you got a King James. Amen. Oh, friend, we find that these Old Testament writers let us know about Calvary before it happened. And then the New Testament writers let us know some things that did go on that day. Oh, friend, I'm telling you, we need a fresh glimpse. I believe we'd live with our eyes upon Calvary. We'd live different. Amen. Help you live clean. It'll help you do right. Help with your eyes upon what Christ did in your place one day. You say, preacher, you're the salvationist preacher I've ever heard. Guilty. Amen. And I don't apologize for it. That is the number one job and message of the men of God. It was that message of the gospel. Amen. And Corinthians chapter 15 clearly says the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Hey, that's the power. That's how you get born again. Oh, friend, I'm glad for Calvary today. You see, we get a fresh glimpse. It'll help us today. Preacher, why do we need a fresh glimpse? Well, number one, I give you four things and I'm done. Number one, Calvary shows us our sins. Amen. In Isaiah 53, we find beginning there in verse number 4 that he bore our griefs and carried our sorrow. He was stricken and smitten, afflicted for us. We find in verse 5, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. Hey, we find out in verse 6 that all we like sheep are gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We find over and over again in this chapter about our sin. Our sin is why Christ had to die. Hey, every one of us are sinners. Our sin is exceeding sinful. I know we're in a day they don't think sin's all that bad. They don't think people's all that bad. But ladies and gentlemen, our sin is so bad, so awful that Christ had to die for it. Amen. Hey, can I read you something? I'm going to read it all. I could quote it or could talk a little bit about it. Now, I just felt early this morning the Lord just want me to read it and let you hear it today in Romans chapter 3. Here's what God says about all men being sinners. He said in Romans 3 and verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. Hey, that's you. Amen. That ain't just everybody else. That's you. You're void of righteousness. Isaiah said in chapter 64 that our righteousness as filthy rags. Amen. There's none righteous. No, not one. No exemption. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. That's right too. Amen. You weren't seeking the Lord before he comes seeking you. You never thought about it. That's right. Oh, you heard the stories and the Bible in Sunday school and preaching. I don't tell you, you never got serious in your heart till He made a step towards you. Amen. I wasn't born looking for God. I was born to live for self. That's flesh. Amen. Hey, there's none that seeketh after God. Verse 12, they're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. Hey, listen to this. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Oh, but preacher, I know this fella. He's a pretty good fella. He does some good things. Bible said he's not good. Amen. Hey, I'm going to tell you one more time. I think I told you months ago, not ought to have. I don't tell you why you call somebody good. It's how they treat you. They're good if they treat you the way you think you ought to be treated. They're bad if they treat you a way you weren't too happy with. Amen. Hey, the Bible said there's none that doeth good. No, not one. Verse 13, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Hey, listen to this. Their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. Hey, a lost man knows nothing about peace. Look up here. Look up here. Do you remember when you was lost? Do you remember there's that absence of peace? On the inside, no peace. No matter what you tried, what you stopped, what you started, no peace. Hey, that's what the sinner is. The way of peace have they not known. A lost man don't know nothing about peace. Verse 18, there's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Preacher, why did you take time to slow down and read them verses? By the law is the knowledge of sin. Amen. Hey, sometimes I think God wants us to kind of take a slow break somewhere and look at what He's saying in the Word of God. Hey, that you're born a sinner, no peace, no good about you. Amen. Hey, we find that as we look at Calvary, we see our sins, and that's what Calvary. Hey, you want to see what God thinks of sin? Look at Calvary. If sin's not a bad thing, why was Calvary? Why did it ever take place? Amen. Hey, Calvary shows us our sin. Number two, Calvary shows us the sinless Savior. For we find in verse number 9 of Isaiah 53, and He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His debt, because He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. Hey, Christ didn't die for His own sin, because He had no sin. Amen. He's sinless. We got these so-called smart preachers. And I say that tongue in cheek, I really do. Oh, they're supposed to be so highly intelligent. Could Jesus sin? Good night, man. What in the world are you fooling around with foolish questions like that for? Amen. Why even entertain such a thought? He didn't sin. Amen. Hey, he was sin. He had never committed a sin. Never in his life. Hey, the Bible lets us know, according to the book of Peter, hey, that there was no sin in him whatsoever. Oh, listen to this. In 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, who when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bear our sin, not his sin, our sin, in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live under righteous, by whose stripes ye were healed. Hey, he's sinless. He had to die for your sin. He had to die for my sin. Oh, friend, hey, Calvin, when we look, we see Christ was sinless. Amen. Hey, let me say this, number three. Not only we see Calvary shows us our sin, Calvary shows us the sinless Savior, but number three, Calvary shows us the sacrifice of the Savior. For in Isaiah 53, man, we began reading these verses. In verse number 7, he said, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shears is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison, from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Verse 10 through 12, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgression. We see Calvary shows us the sacrifice of the Savior. Hey, there had to be death because of sin. The soul that sinneth, Ezekiel said, it shall die. Amen. Romans 6:23 said, for the wages of sin is death. Death has to be, hey, that's what the result of sin is, death. Oh, but Christ, he paid that debt. He that knew no sin, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21, became sin for us. Everything I ever did or ever will do, you hear me? Everything you've ever done or will do, hear me? You need to grab that right there. I see a lot of Baptists struggling, a lot of other denominational folks struggling. Oh, but if I sin, hey, understand this. All your sin was future when Christ died. You had never breathed yet, but Christ died for your sin, and he died for my sin that we could be forgiven. Oh, friend, today, the Calvary shows us the sacrifice of the Savior. Let me say number four, Calvary shows us the suffering of the Savior. For it said there in verse 4, surely hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Hey. He's going through a lot here for us. It said there, who was cut off out of the land of the living, verse 8, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. Hey, we find Christ suffered for our sin. Amen. Hey, I thought about this. All that goes on. Matter of fact, back in Isaiah 52, verse 14, as many were astoned at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Hey, he was so beaten when they crucified him, he wasn't even recognizable. That's what the Bible's telling us right there. Oh, preacher, that's all. Hey, I know what's happening. I can tell you why. I can tell you why that, you know, we have a hard time grabbing that. We've just seen all these little pictures all our lives. And they're very tame little pictures. Are you hearing me? Little trickle of blood. Ain't even much blood out of the wounds of his hands or his feet, nor his side, according to these pictures. But that ain't what the Bible says. Amen. Hey, and I'm going to just say this, and you listen to me. I am not impressed with nothing that Hollywood comes out with. If you go around, oh, I watched that on tape, oh, that show was. I'm going to tell you something. I ain't blessed when something's not right with the Bible. I just can't hook with that. Amen. Hey, go with what the Bible says. Amen. Hey, what I know about Calvary, I read it in the Bible. Amen. Didn't get it from Hollywood. I got it from the Bible. Amen. Hey, want to know about heaven and hell? I got it from the Bible. Amen. Hey, we found that the Bible tells us he was scourged, he was beaten, they put a crown of thorns on his head. They pierced him, they nailed him out to the cross, pierced his side with a spear. Hey, this man Jesus, the God-man, hey, took your sin, took my sin, and paid it on the cross that you and I could be set free. Hey, I'm going to tell you, I'm glad for Calvary. I'm going to say this before I close, and listen to me right here. Calvary does have mixed emotions for me. It really does. I have two different types of emotions take place in me. When I preach on the cross, when I read about it, when I meditate about it, Brother Dallas says two things. One saddens me, breaks my heart, because I know it's my sin that did all that. It saddens. I mean, my heart is gripped in me when I think of Calvary. But there's another side of me that could cut a cartwheel and run up the wall backwards. You say, why, preacher? Because I've been forgiven. I turned and trusted the finished work of Christ at Calvary one day. Amen. Hey, that old songwriter was right. He wrote those words, years in vanity and pride. Hey, care not that my Lord was crucified. Hey, you know what, friend? There are a lot of folk religious and they know the story of Calvary, but it ain't affected them as it has others. Oh, but when you realize it's for me he died, oh, that's when business will pick up. That's when things can change. Amen. When you understand it's for you that Jesus died, and it's you that Jesus wants to save. Oh, I'm glad that he is the Savior. Hey, I can tell you this without reservation. You come as the sinner for who you are, you will find him to be the Savior who he is. Amen. He ain't going to turn you away. Oh, I'm going to tell you, Billy Mitchell's exactly right what he says. All those that come on the term of the gospel will get saved. That's right. You go any other way, you can forget it. But if you come on the terms of this old book here, amen, he ain't turned nobody away to come on them terms. What is that? Come repenting of your sin, turning from sin and self to the Savior. He'll save you today. Hey, I'm glad of that. I'm glad Christ died for us. Hey, God commended his love toward us. Why? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Hey, you say, preacher, you ever gonna preach anything different? I will when God tells me to. But today he didn't give me nothing different. He said, preach it right here. Because I'm gonna preach on something else. He said, preach this. Amen. I done learned this. Whatever the assignment, I'm going to do it. Amen. Because you know why? Listen to me. There are folk right here today lost. Every service we're, and I'm not talking about just children. There are some children here that God, I believe, is beginning, they're beginning to ask questions. They're beginning to wonder what's going on, what is all this that we're doing right here. But I'm going to tell you what, there's some folk older, some adults, right here today lost without God, and you need to be saved. Amen. There are a lot of folk in this world think they're okay. They think, well, I'm all right. I ain't killed nobody and I don't use dope and I'm not a drunkard and I'm not a thief. Hey, but you're a sinner. Look at me. Everybody look at me and I'll give an invitation. Listen. Why does a person go to hell? Why does a person go? I'm going to tell you why. They did not get saved. That's the only reason. It ain't what they're doing. Oh, that's just a product of who they are. Amen. They are going to hell because they did not get saved. Amen. I know that don't get preached a whole lot. That don't sound as good as in some circles, but that's truth. Amen. Hey, at the great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20, there's a book. And your name, if it's not in that book, you'll be cast into the lake of fire. Whose name's in that book? All those who have been saved. That's right. I can tell you this, that reservation, my name's there. Amen. My name is recorded. Why? I got saved one day. Amen. And you too can be saved this morning if you'll come to Christ. Father, take the message, use it for thy glory. I've tried my best to glorify you and preach what you laid upon my heart. Oh, Lord, help that soul that's lost here today not turn from you, but may they turn to you. Oh, Lord, I pray this will be the day they get gloriously saved. And, Lord, all you do, we'll thank and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed just a moment. I've tried my best to preach to you what the Lord laid upon my heart early this morning. And I wonder, someone here say, "Preacher, you have preached to me today, I'm lost. And I'm going to admit it by lifting my hand and asking you to pray for me. I'm lost, preacher, pray for me." Anybody in the building, you're going to be honest with yourself. I'm going to tell you this. Thank you. I see that hand. One day at the judgment, you're going to face this message again. The Lord's going to remind you had an opportunity, but you done nothing about it. You say, "Preacher, all you preach the same. You just all have to scare people." That ain't what it's about. It's getting you to see what you need, and that's Christ. You need to understand eternity, serious eternity. Eternity by its own definition, it'll never end. I want us to stand this morning. As we're standing, what are we going to sing, Brother Tim? All right. Let's sing. This altar's open. If you're not saved, come. We'd love to pray with you this morning. You could just be burdened by somebody lost. You need to pray for them. You come. It's all right. Maybe you're carrying a heavy load. I'm glad the Lord can help you today while we sing.